Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and our in-studio guest, which is very unusual, is Susie Leavis. Susie is the CFO of Leavis & Associates. She's been doing taxes since the ripe old age of 13 for some reason, and also just started a new venture in the last year. So, Susie, welcome.
Thank you very much.
What is this new addition to the Leavis family of companies here?
Well, in my wildest dreams, I never thought I would do this, but in walked a man that I thought I had a tax appointment with, and he introduced himself as being from H&R Block and was interested in me becoming a franchise owner.
Okay.
And I giggled at him and said, well, good for you. You got yourself in front of me, but I can tell you I'm not interested in doing this. But, you know, you were pretty sly and got yourself in front of me, so I'll give you 15 minutes and I'll be open-minded. And here we are a year later, and I'm a franchise owner and actually very proud and happy to be one.
Now, what was different? You had some assumptions that must have been wrong.
I certainly did have some assumptions, and I think many practitioners have the same assumptions. It's thought of as being for the client, the unsophisticated mm-hmm. client, maybe, mm-hmm. and that the staff just took the basic 60-hour course and became a practitioner, and voila, there you go, and you're going to do all those returns. And does that happen on occasion? Yeah, it can happen on occasion. But truly, the additional office that we ended up with came with a seasoned staff. Most of them have been with Block for over 20 years. In fact, the real cute giggle, just real quick, I took H&R Block's basic course when I was a junior in high school, and I introduced myself to the new staff, and the gal in the back raised her hand, and she said, yeah, I was your teacher.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's in her 80s, and she's been doing returns for a very long time. So
she's 80.
Yeah.
Okay.
Over 80, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so all of those have, like, a regular following is like you might.
Yes.
So you've really just expanded your tax client base quite
yeah.
a bit.
What's interesting is now that we, you know, that office actually does quite a number of the smaller returns. You know, I never had that business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my clients don't come in till the middle to end of February, and we're slammed until the very end and there's no break. But a good number of those clients come in the minute you file a return, and that office did 1,200 returns by Valentine's Day, which is, that's half the volume of the returns that they do in a season.
Wow. Okay.
So, and that's not that wasn't a clientele that I was used to. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you are in full swing, what is the length of your day? How long are you working?
Yeah, we shouldn't talk about that. Actually, I really try my best to get to the gym at least 3 days a week at 5:30, and then I'm in the office, you know, after that. And I don't go home until I'm done, because I'm booked on the half from 9 till about 8, and I take a lunch break. I don't take a dinner break, and I don't leave the office until that work is done for the day, because I'll have another full day the very next day.
So you're still taking new work assignments at 8 o'clock, and you're finishing up whatever after that?
Yes.
Okay. So sleep is sort of optional during the season?
You know, it's like amazing that your body allows you to work that hard and not really require too much. So, yeah.
What was so interesting about this subject? I mean, you're 13 years old, somehow figuring out that you like that better than, like, normal high school and junior high school stuff.
That's true. My dad was in management in the grocery business, and he was building a practice on the side, and it just got to the point where he needed assistance, and he asked me for the help. And at 13, to have a calculator and a typewriter and a copy machine and files, and I loved it. I mean, I know that sounds craziness. And what was interesting back in the day, now where I'm really dating myself, because when I was a junior and senior in high school, one of the things that was part of a tax return, and we looked at it for every tax season, was income averaging.
Mm-hmm.
The old timers still will ask me, can we income average? That's been gone a long time, but it was just a lot of math. And what's really funny about this is I started doing taxes when we used only carbon paper. It was before computers.
Wow.
So what's really kind of what I guess what also prompted me to do block is I looked at my 30-year career and I think, okay, well, I started with carbon paper and now we're doing electronic filing and we're paperless. What, and if I do want to work for another 20, I turned 50 this year. So if I want to work another 20, what will it look like? I mean, look at how far that 30 years has come. What is the next 20 going to look like?
So. And it makes it a lot easier because I'm one of your clients. But when I go in there, you can just pop up last year's, the year before. You can do all kinds of stuff. And it's just at your fingertip. And you can make changes. Oh, let's do this. And it's all through the system.
Yes.
We all, just like in real estate, when you do appraising and all that, it's all easier.
It is easier.
And it's quicker to do much more.
Yeah, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're making mistakes quicker, too.
That's true. That is true. You've got the title of an enrolled agent. So what exactly is that? And we'll talk about how that benefits your clients, let's say.
Sure. It is actually a federal designation. It's given by the Internal Revenue Service. A CPA will take a state exam, and it's a two-day exam. But in addition to tax, it's auditing and accounting and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Where the exam that's given by the Internal Revenue Service, it's 2 days on tax. So it's individual, corporate, partnership, trust, estate, gift. It's total tax. So,
and if you're an enrolled agent, you get to go represent a client if they're being audited?
Yes.
Okay.
We have the same rights as an attorney or a CPA does in front of the Internal Revenue Service. Yes.
Okay. What makes an audit more likely? Exaggerating deductions or trying to hide income?
Well, if you're trying to hide something that they know about, yeah, that's not even an audit. That's a CP2000. That's just a matching. That's the system comparing all the information that it receives on you, and then it compares it to the return that you filed.
So they'll just send you a bill kind of thing,
kind
right?
Kind of. Yeah. They'll give you a chance to dispute it. You know, they'll let you know that this is what was missing from your return, mm-hmm. and give you the opportunity to, you know, let them know whether that's correct or not. But an audit, I just came from the IRS this morning. It was a very lovely 4 hours. And I think what really prompted this one was it was really a kind of an economic reality audit. You know, he had a commercial building. So the 1098, the mortgage interest was, you know, posted to the Internal Revenue Service.
Okay.
And he has a home, mm-hmm. and that's got a mortgage. And then he's a self-employed guy, contractor, and it just didn't look like he made enough money to pay all those bills.
Wow. So it was really just their suspicion,
yes.
not any tangible evidence.
Yes.
Wow. They have the time on their hands to do that.
They're broke. They're looking for money. And that would be a good one, right? Because they would want to know, how did you support yourself?
Yeah. So, how do you make all these payments and stuff if you only make 20 grand or whatever it
so
is?
So fortunately, this particular client that I represented this morning was amazingly detailed. So, you know, often you've asked me to write for your newsletter, and I always stress on bookkeeping. And I know that sounds ridiculous because, you know, most people want to talk to me about how do I save money on my taxes, but it really does boil down to be an amazing record keeper, do your bookkeeping. And in this case, this client did. And the reason he was able to get through the year with not a lot of profit was he had a windfall from before.
Okay.
And the money was in his savings, and he's kind of living off his savings. So we were able to prove it. But until you're in audit, they don't know that.
Right.
Their assumption is if you're self-employed, they're thinking, oh, you're doing stuff under the table.
Now, audit, sometimes you go in, but sometimes they come to the field. When do either one of those happen? If they're going to be in the field and in your office, sometimes those are lengthy, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. And often those are more entities. It's either the partnership or the corporation. On occasion, it'll be the sole proprietor, but often it's the entities that they will come to us. And the individual folks and maybe a smaller sole proprietorship, they'll ask us to go in. But what's becoming even more popular is not doing either one of those things, and they're picking out an item or two on the return, and it's a correspondence audit. So I've had a couple in the last year where they're specialty contractors, maybe a plumber or an electrician or whatnot, and they want to see the mileage log, or they would want to see the backup for their tools, or cell phone is another big one that they want to see. Okay. So then you're just, you're, you know, preparing all the information and you're mailing it in.
Does the IRS change gears and say, okay, this year we're going to target this category as opposed to other categories?
They do kind of check to see where they think their focus should be. You know, often it's on the areas that they're expecting fraud. Earned income credit, and that's, you know, some of the smaller returns. You know, mm-hmm. if you've got somebody walking through the door and it's a smaller return, but they have many children or whatnot, they're looking for all those credits. And the earned income credit has been a big target. On the sole proprietor side, if they're seeing losses, often they're double checking to make sure it's really a viable business and not a hobby.
Okay.
So
how does that, matter of fact, how does that differentiate time spent or?
It's actually not time spent. It's just doing all the things that you would do to be a business owner. Do you have a business plan? Can you show that in time you will have a profit? Are you conducting yourself in a business-like manner, such as having a separate bank account, doing advertising, having a business license, doing all the things, and you can really show that you're really out to make a profit, not just doing this for fun.
One of the things that I've talked to you about over the years is that you see a lot of people and you kind of get the general mood of the participant taxpayer. So, you know, 2005 and 6, I'm sure everybody pretty much was very happy. In 2012, what was the general mood?
Yeah, it's pretty grim. I'm noticing even in the last couple months, folks coming back in from actually falling out of the system. You know, life was so horrible that they didn't file.
Wow.
And so being as the state and the feds are broke, they are sending those notices out. Hey, we haven't received a return. So we're seeing already an upswing of people that are doing multi-year.
Yeah. When you get behind like that, there's not really penalties unless you owe taxes.
True.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not like they're upside down and hopelessly so. Okay.
So the one thing to keep in mind, though, if you are looking for a refund, you only have 3 years on the federal side to get that. And you only have 4 years on the state. So if you've got something older than that and you were due a refund, you will no longer receive that.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're sitting in front of all these people, does their mood affect your year? Like how you end the day, or is it wear you out if everybody's sort of down and out?
Well, isn't that part of my job to pick them up?
Okay.
And I think the reason I have a successful practice and why people are drawn to me mm-hmm. is I do have a knack for picking people back up and showing the brighter side and, you know, giving them some ideas and pointers on how to fix it and that it's not the end of the world and we can fix it.
Do you have a feeling what 2013 is going to feel like?
You know, we're all listening to the news and we're hearing about the fiscal cliff and I think we all know in our hearts that taxes are going to go up. Everybody pretty much knows it. I mean, I think three things are a given, right? We know that we're going to have increased tax. We know we're going to start seeing some inflation and we know that interest rates are eventually going to go up. Those are a given. It's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
But do really people have a handle on it? You know, as long as they pass the laws and then they fix the withholding tables right away to where everybody's paying a little at a time on their paychecks,
yeah.
It's not quite so bad. But kind of like California just passed Prop 30, and that's a retroactive increase for those in a higher income level. If your income's over 250, that's when you're seeing that. And so those folks might be short this year because there wasn't the withholding to compensate that.
Yeah, that goes all the way back to January 1st of 2012. Oh, by the way, we raised your taxes and didn't let you know till, 11 months later.
Exactly.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very nice if it was a big number.
And guess who voted for that?
Yeah. Well, not me. So we canceled each other out.
Yeah.
You go to school every year at the end of the year or, you know, it's kind of the tax update. So I would think this would have been an interesting year because I bet there's some stuff that they don't know yet.
There's a lot of stuff they don't know. There's a page and a half of things that are likely to sunset or supposed to sunset December 31st. And everybody's got their opinion as to what they think will be extended. But really, no one knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a big deal, because if you're withholding tax, first of all, going forward as an employer, you might have to, I mean, it's okay when you're a company my size, perhaps, but if you have a large company, that could be a big mess. A month into the year, all of a sudden you go, okay, well, it's not going to be what we just practiced for a month. It's going to be something else.
Yes.
So that gets expensive.
It's kind of like playing the game of Monopoly, and I'll tell you the rules as we play.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes it a little hard for tax planning.
It's very difficult.
I mean, or even tax advantages at the end of a year. So there's a lot of times people make decisions, say, okay, it's better to make this decision now than next year. But you're sort of sitting there in the dark going, okay, I don't know if that's true or not.
The basic rule of thumb through almost my whole entire career was, you know, push off income to next year if you could, and accelerate deductions. And this is the very first year I'm telling my clients to do the opposite.
Yeah.
So take all the income now, wait and pay bills. I mean, I was included in that. You know, when you use a credit card, it is deductible the day you charge it, not the day you pay the credit card company back. So December 31st, I'm filling up my gas tank and I'm stocking all the supplies on my shelves and whatnot. I will not be doing that this year. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait.
Okay. The Bush tax changes when he made all those lowering of taxes. First of all, what were those categories that were affected? That was the federal rate went down quite a bit from where it was under Clinton.
It was under Reagan, right? That's when Reagan was the big one that really changed, right? Because the big song and dance was, oh, I'm leaving tax rates low. But that was the year that we lost a lot of deductions.
That's right.
Right? We lost interest and whatnot. And so I have a feeling that might be kind of the play that we might see going forward, where they won't frighten people too badly, maybe, with the actual rate, but they're going to start, you know, chipping away at some of the things that we're used to having. And so our taxable income will be higher and essentially we'll pay more, even though the marketing might be spinned a little different.
Yeah, it won't feel so bad because we think our rate's the same, but we're paying it on more stuff, a bigger percentage of what we make. I can see that coming. What changes do you know are in place for next year?
Well, we know about the 3.8%. You know, that's for folks single. If you make over $200,000, married $250,000, that is 3.8% on investment income. So that's going to be your folks that are following you, Bruce. It's on the net profit of a rental property. You know, hopefully all your folks have positive cash flows. Mm-hmm. So. It's the rental income, it's interest dividend, it's stock sales, it's all that unearned income.
Okay. Yes. And this is a first, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if they raise the rate from, what's the max rate now, 36?
Yes.
And if they raise the rate to 39?
Yes.
This is 3.8 on top of that?
On top of that.
Okay.
Yes. And then you will probably see an increase in capital gain, I would bet.
Sure.
You know, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you're lucky enough to have this 250 number, I know it's not 39.6 on the whole, whatever.
That's correct.
It's after a certain number. What is that number usually? When do we pass the lower ramping up until you get to that number where everything after that is the biggest number?
Honestly, I don't know the number off the top of my head without seeing the chart. But what's happening is the very small rate, the 0 to 10, that rate's gone. So it's 0 to 15. So all the rates are kind of shifting a little bit.
Okay.
But you're correct in that, you know, you go from here to here and you're paying 15. You go from here to here and you're, you know, that, it, you know, the method of how they're doing it is the same. Mm-hmm. But they're juggling the numbers and it's all going to be bigger.
I've seen some charts where something like 40-50% of people pay no federal income tax. Is that true? That just seems, I don't know. Are the credits so amazing that they really don't pay?
Well, it's the beginning clientele that I was talking about that comes in January, right?
Yeah.
That clientele with their income lower, they're the credits, like if they're getting earned income credit, child credit, education credits, those folks will definitely be down to zero. Often they are.
Okay. How often do major changes all get changed again? Remember in the years where the apartment business, that was going booming because they could write all that stuff off of their regular income physicians and all that, and then they changed that. And, I mean, that just changed the whole industry radically for that type of investment. So you can have major changes, and then they can make changes of the changes.
Constant and unending. So often you'll see a big bill, but then you're left with not really understanding what was really the intent. And then all the interpretive regs have to be written to, you know, and that's really kind of the whole healthcare issue right now. You know, that's going to start taking effect in a year. And we really, you know, it's going to be based on your 2012 return. And so, you know, when I went to a session on how to learn that, how do you become the expert in that area? There's so much that they don't even know, you know, they'll feed you what they do know. And then you start, your brain kicks into gear and you start asking questions and you can't get answers to a lot of that stuff.
That's just like the mortgage industry. You know, they have the bill Dodd-Frank. So they came up with a bill almost 2 years ago and they still don't know what it actually means because it doesn't say anything yet. They're still arm wrestling for what in fact it does mean. Well, yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yes.
You can see that happening because this fiscal cliff arm wrestling match about, you know, we're going to try and increase revenue by taxes, but we're only going to raise it on the rich. That's not going to be a permanent solution. So they're going to raise it on the rest of the people, but maybe not this time. So you're probably in for quite a round of this going on and on, which is a little tough for people in your business because it demands constant education.
It does.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just a couple of taxes that I don't usually even pay attention to, but I know they've grown over the years. Medicare is one of them. Medicare used to be limited to a certain amount of income, right?
Yes.
And that's not true anymore.
That's not true anymore. If you make gajillions of dollars, you're going to pay the medical tax on gajillions of dollars.
And that's, what is that percentage?
It's 1.45 for the employee, and it's 1.45 for the employer. So if you're self-employed, it's 2.9.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's significant, isn't
it? So when you bring that up, then you look at Social Security, and that does have that cap, the 100, and I think it's 110,000 this year. That number changes every year.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's where we're going to see the change, right? They'll either remove that limit or they'll increase that limit substantially to help fund Social Security.
Yeah. And that's not little. What is that percentage for both sides?
6.2 times 2.
Right.
So 12.4.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So just there, you've got 15%.
I mean,
tax.
If you're someone that makes 250,
yeah,
you need to start panicking. I mean, take the additional from the state, and then you look at maybe some additional Social Security, and then you have the 3.8 plus the higher tax rate, and who knows what little deductions they're going to take away. Yeah, this is a little scary.
It is scary, and you really start thinking, okay, I'm really going to have less than half of my stuff that I make.
Yes.
And the people that are making way less are complaining that we're not paying our share.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble with that one.
No kidding. Yes.
Do you think the federal tax rate are probably headed to 39.6? Is that the likely number?
I could see that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only have 40 seconds. It's been way higher before.
It has been, yes. It has.
I mean,
in history, if you look at history, but yet, if you look at history, there's also been more deductions, too.
Okay.
So.
Okay, because, I mean, when you look at the rate prior to Reagan, I think it was 80%.
Yeah. Right.
So you go, okay, well, why?
But 80% of what number?
Yeah, way bigger number.
Yeah.
But still, you'd go,
yeah,
okay, well, let's don't get to that one because
yeah,
it's pointless.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Susie, we're going to do this in one more show. We've been talking with Susie Lavis. She's the CFO of Lavis & Associates, and I use her for all my tech stuff and highly recommend her. What's your phone number?
951-300-9600.
Okay, Susie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.